Good afternoon. I'd like to convene the Committee on Taxes and the Property and Local Tax Committee Division to a joint hearing related to TIF legislation. Thank you, Chair Lincheski, for the opportunity to meet jointly this week and again next week, and there may be other times in the future that we'll be meeting. And I appreciate the number of members who have managed to shoehorn this joint hearing into their busy schedules. We are going to start with perhaps one of the more interesting bills I've seen, House File 452, Representative Zellers. Representative Zellers, would you like to move House File 452 to be before the committee for possible inclusion in an omnibus bill?
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Zellers. Representative Zellers, the interesting part I find about your bill, not that Maple Grove isn't interesting in its own, don't get me wrong, but can you define the word thence for me? It appears 12 times on page 1 of your bill alone. I'm not sure if you were going for a record, but you may have achieved it regardless.
You know, Mr. Chairman, I was this close to law school and then opted out. So I figured this is my way of actually, no, I'm only joking. I couldn't use that word that many times in a poem, let alone in a bill. But that's why I have a special guest with me, Al Mattson, who is one of, if not one of the most respected and renowned city administrators all throughout the metropolitan area and across the country. Al has been building and developing the community of Maple Grove for more years than I've lived there, but also probably more years than I've been alive almost, and done a wonderful job. So Al has been kind enough to come along and help with this. But actually, the history of it, and I don't know if I'm asking a question I don't know the answer to, Mr. Chair, which is always dangerous, but Joel Michael may or may not be able to explain the this type of TIF, which was actually used in the past in the Bloomington, Edina, Richfield area, that actually precludes but also leads us into the bill that we have today.
All right. Representative Zellers, since you barely missed law school, we'll refer you to you as the party of the first part for the duration of the hearing. But Mr. Michael, would you be able to walk members through the bill and particularly explore the soil deficiency tax increment district concept? Please.
Mr. Chair, members of the of the committee and the division, I won't go through their bill, but I will give, at the suggestion of Representative Zellers, a little bit of a TIF history, which is, I think, what he's after, in that back between the creation of the passage of the original Tax Increment Act in 1979, and I forget when this was changed, but it was probably around somewhere in the era between 1988 and 1990. There was authority to create redevelopment districts in areas that where the land had soils deficiencies. Just to back up, normally you create a redevelopment district in an area where there are a high percentage of substandard buildings. The original TIF law also said you can create a redevelopment district in an area where there are soils problems. For example, the soil required substantial grading or compaction that exceeded some dollar thresholds. The instance that Representative Zellers was referring to, if those of you are familiar in the city of Edina with the Centennial Lakes area, that was one of the areas that used that authority to do a development in the city of Edina. The legislature repealed that authority, as I indicated, in either 88, 89, or 90. I'm foggy on the exact date. There was a concern that the language was too wide open and it allowed too many areas that in undeveloped areas to qualify for redevelopment tax increment treatment. And I think the project that, you know, to talk about specific projects that tipped the balance was one out in Washington County where essentially the authority was used to grade some hills and to put in a Cub food store. And so that option was taken away as a way to qualify redevelopment districts based simply on soils conditions.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Michaels. Representative Zellers, so that you know and so that members know, there is a summary of the Mr. or Representative Zellers' proposal and a map, but they were inadvertently put in the file, in your green file with House File 597. So if you dig into 597, you'll find the information about House File 452. With that, party of the first part, Representative Zellers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And yes, I apologize. And if you need help separating them out, I do have two helpers here that would be more than happy to sort through your files with you. But with that, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Mr. Michael, that is kind of the both sides of the equation. And what we're looking to do with this bill is the previous. You know, we wanted to look at what the Edina and the Centennial Lakes provisions and what developed out of that, not necessarily others that have not gone as well. With that, I will turn it over to my expert witness, but also give you an idea of where we've been, where we're looking to go, and then some of the commitments and conversations with the Metropolitan Council that led us to today.
Excellent. Mr. Madsen, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the tape and proceed with your testimony.
Mr. Chair, I'm Al Madsen, City Administrator for Maple Grove. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Representative Zellers, I appreciate his kind words until he got toward the end about, I think he was insinuating about my age, but we'll let that go. So sometimes I think I have been around a long time. What we're proposing this year is what we proposed last year. This is patterned after the Burnsville tax increment financing legislation that the legislature approved several years ago. And we had our proposal in last year. It was found in favor by the House and the Senate. It became a part of the large taxing bill. Unfortunately, that bill was vetoed, and down went our proposal. So we're back with the same proposal. In the 1990s, the Metropolitan Council asked the landowners of the gravel mining area, as well as the city, not to develop, to hold off on development because of the resources in there, which was being used for the vast majority of the base for the entire metropolitan transportation system. And so the landowners and the city, we agreed with Met Council that we would not push development at that time. We are now to the point where the cost of implementing infrastructure, sewer, water, storm sewer, ponds, you name it, is astronomical and is impeding development. In fact, in many cases, the cost of the infrastructure is exceeding the cost of the land. And so it puts us in a very tough situation. Our proposal, though, is very narrow. It focuses strictly on industrial and office. It does not take part in retail. It does not take part in residential. In addition, there are no land write-downs. Maple Grove has never done a land write-down TIF. In my personal opinion, that favors the landowner, and I think use of land write-downs is foolish when it comes to TIF, but that's my own personal opinion. But we have never done a land write-down. This is strictly to offset the cost of the infrastructure. We also, in the late 70s and early 80s, and now I'm dating myself, completed a gravel mining area plan as it related to engineering. At that time, had nothing to do with land use, but it dealt strictly with the engineering elevations and whatnot. We have found that for this roughly 600 acres to develop, we're going to have an extensive stormwater retention pond system throughout there. And all of the ponds will be lined. And so because we do have a vast aquifer that runs underneath this gravel mining area. And so all of the stormwater retention ponds will be mined, and that also pushes up the cost. We have found that most developers, when they do talk to us and we sit down and we calculate what the costs are going to be to develop, it just has been detrimental to us trying to get something done. We also do have a landfill site within there that is also part of our proposal to clean up. As I mentioned, we will provide no tax increment financing to the business, strictly for infrastructure costs. In addition, we have established a project performance system where as we create a TIF, not every business is going to qualify for it. They're going to have to show that the project meets our land use plan, meets the needs of the city, job generation, value of the project, on and on. And so we're going to create a TIF on a case-by-case basis. And so we're hoping that, that we can get this approximately 600 acres, and you have a map in front of you. It shows a very, very large area. This is a unique area that has a tremendous amount of work that needs to be done because of previous and even existing mining efforts. There's still mining that's going on in there. If someone would have asked when the full build-out of Maple Grove would be, if they'd asked me that 5 or 6 or 7 years ago, we were saying probably 2020. Now we're looking at probably 2030. So there still will be mining operations that will be going on as we develop out that 600 acres. But again, we feel that, that the only way that we can accomplish what we want to accomplish in the gravel mining area is through a special tax increment financing legislation. We have enough retail, so we're not interested in doing anything retail. Now we're focusing on industrial and office.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Madsen. Representative Zellers, any other comments?
No. I think you'll find, Mr. Chair and members, that is a very well thought out, and Mr. Madsen, Mayor Stephenson, our city council have done a very good job at developing out Maple Grove, and that this, especially when you consider what will be a part of our community that is a part of a lot of communities, the roads, the gravel, the aggregate that's going to be used, has been used in the past and is going to be used in the future, this is a very thoughtful proposal.
Thank you, Representative Zellers. Is there anyone in the audience wishing to testify regarding House File 452? Any questions from members? Representative Loeffler.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and to the witnesses, if they can answer. I don't know much about mining. I've learned it all. Well, all what I know learned from Tommy Rukavina when he was on the tax committee. But somehow I got an impression that mining operations were required to, when they ceased operations, to you know, repair the land to a usable purpose. And it seems to me that it sounds like they're asking the city to step up using whatever tools they have and that we could authorize them to incur the costs for, you know, making the land flat as opposed to craters and that sort of thing. And, you know, am I incorrect in my expectation that the mining operation has some obligations here?
Mr. Madsen.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you are correct. I cannot speak for other cities, but when we created our gravel mining area plan in the late 70s, early 80s, we require the mining operators to reclaim the land based on that plan. Now, bringing it flat is one thing, but the cost really lies with running the sewer, the water, the storm sewer, the road system, all of that through there, the stormwater retention ponds. That's where the big bucks really takes place.
Representative Law,
you are correct, yes.
Thank you. That's useful. It just that your handout talked about it was left in a geophysical nature such that, you know, it didn't work. And it talked about land moving. So I was envisioning you as doing that. Thank you. That's helpful.
Any other questions from committee members? Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just curious about this map that's in here. It has various colors on it and so forth in shades. Is the whole thing included, or are some of these already developed, or what's going on?
Mr. Madsen.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my apologies, it's probably not the best map to provide. This is a map on showing our land use plan, and the colors represent different land uses. Industrial will be the purple. When you get into the catchmark area, that's mixed use development. Could be a combination of light industrial slash office. You get into the area south of Elm Creek, that's Arbor Lakes area, that's retail. We're focusing strictly on the industrial and office portion of this area. So the colors represent different forms of land use.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
Representative Earhart.
Is some of this already developed? I guess that would be the question.
Mr. Madsen.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, what you see on the map, we see Hemlock. If you go on the south side of Elm Creek Boulevard, and Hemlock area, and a little bit to the east. The south side has been developed, but as you get the area that is the dotted area, that is not yet developed. That also includes some blighted buildings that do need to be taken out. The landfill site, the dump site, is also included in that area. So it's the dotted area that we are focusing on, and it references approximately 602 acres.
Representative Earhart?
Mr. Chairman, but you're including even the developed areas in your plan here. Am I correct there?
Mr. Madsen?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the area that we have focused is totally undeveloped. I mean, that it's you have some mining operations going on, but we don't consider that to be developed areas. So the everything in there is not yet.
Thank you.
Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just so the members realize, thank you, Mr. Madsen, for being here. This was a project that the Tax Committee looked at 2 years ago?
Last year.
And I believe this was in looked on very favorably, was in the smoking hot tax bill that was vetoed, if I remember correctly. So this is a very, you know, this project's been around before. The legislature has acted on this project before, and I hope we'll act favorably again.
Any last comments, Representative Zellers?
I thank the members of the committee and the chairman for the time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Madsen. Thank you. And House File 452 is laid over for possible inclusion in a future bill.
Thank you.
Representative Lilly. House File 114, the good city of Oakdale. Representative Lilly, welcome to the committee. Would you like to move your bill to be before the committee for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill?
Yes, sir. I'd like it moved.
So moved. Thank you. Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Chair Lincheski and other members. House File 114 is a little bit complicated. It's a TIF request that's being renewed. There's about three different components to the bill as that's before you. It's for the city of Oakdale, in the East Metro community, and we're asking for more time for the current existing TIF that was approved in 2008 and 9. And there's another component that we're asking for that part of that component also to be extended for another few years. And then there's additional moving a housing component into another TIF. So it's kind of a complicated little bugger. Oakdale is is that a legislative word? I didn't go to law school either, so I think that was one of
them. Vince, it's a little bugger.
Bugger. So this was brought through the legislative process in the last biennium, and I believe it was in the smoking hot bill that ultimately cease to exist, and then I'm hoping that it'll be in the smoking hot bill too, and as we go forward in this session that is brought forward by this body. Oakdale is an East Metro community. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's a suburban community just to the east of us, and it's basically a bedroom community with kind of a nice mixture of commercial and industrial that they've been blessed with, but the TIFs that are before you are involve some redevelopment, and it's often the case with these. And we had a mall situation that kind of saw its days, and so through the ability through TIF, they were able to level the mall and do some of the work on that project, some road work and other things the city stepped up to do. And so we're kind of caught in a place with that project to go forward and to get that, to bring it to the next step, to get a viable business, you know, into that. And then there's another property that's closer to 94 and closer to the Capitol here, which is actually just literally miles from here. And it's right on Tanner's Lake, and it was quite blighted. There was some businesses that had some unseemly, if you will, issues. There was some prostitution, some crime problems, and so the city took it upon themselves with you know, other parties to level those properties, and then and with the help of the legislature and this help with this TIF and the extension, we were hoping to get a viable business concern in there. It's a great property, right off the side of Tanner's Lake and real close to here. And in the, I think, did you hand this up? I think everybody in their material, and I would just ask you to take a look through it, but at one of the pages, there's the Tanner's Lake property, and if you take a look, right across the street is 3M and their corporate center, and it's right on the border, and so it has great redevelopment, amazing redevelopment opportunities, but it's also important to have it a quality piece with 3M right across the street, and you know, making it viable for them and successful. We obviously want 3M successful, and so it's just a great opportunity and a great marriage. With me today, I have some real professionals that actually can talk you through the TIF and not blunder through the word part that I was having problems with. But with me here is the Oakdale City Manager, Craig Waldron, and he's actually award-winning. He's like this amazing city manager, and I'm sure he's thrilled that I'm mentioning these things, but I believe he's gotten like a state award, a national award. I think he has some presidential thing, too, that's, and I think they gave him the award so they didn't have to pay him more, but he's a great, great person. And I remember a couple of years ago, Tom Dicklich was applying for to be a city manager up in Hibbing, and I told him to call him, and hopefully he did, and I said, if you want to be a good city manager, this is the guy to emulate. But so I'm going to pass to him, and we'll see how he does on this part. But
all right,
it was a great city.
Mr. Waldron, welcome to the committee. Given that this committee did approve the early TIF, a lot of the documentation I see goes to that. I'd ask that you focus instead on this year's legislation and the reasons for the extension and the like in your testimony. Would you please state your name for the record and proceed, sir?
Yes, Craig Waldron, City Administrator for Oakdale. And thank you for your kind comments, Representative. To follow up on the perspective, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, in terms of looking at above and beyond what we had originally proposed, just to amplify representative statements a little bit in terms of the blight, because that's where our real problem is with these blighted, what is it, buggers?
Sorry.
Buggers. Yes. The Tanner's Lake project is across from 3M, and we did have not only horrible problems there in terms of police calls and fighting the usual suspects, but it was bleeding into the adjacent neighborhood along Tanner's Lake. So we had the classic cancer that we needed to get our arms around there. And with the legislative help, we've been able to do that. We've already invested about $1.5 million of our own funds in the adjacent neighborhood and so forth, in terms of working to turn this around. And again, we did have very positive legislative support. Chair Lanchesky had come out, Senator Bach had been with us, and they had visited all the sites. So Tanner's Lake is moving forward. Bob will explain a little bit more what what's happened in terms of the increased cost that we've encountered, but we've turned it around. We have a development agreement there with a group that we're working with, so it's moving forward. Just briefly, the mall site was 18 acres. It was one of these absentee landowners. It was a horrible mess. It was blighted. Chair, I believe when you were out there, we even had the waterfall running down that's not even supposed to be a waterfall in there. So it was just a horrendous site, horrendous mold, same thing. We've turned that around. We got a hold of that. We demolished it. We have the infrastructure in place. But again, based on some of the increased costs that we've experienced and some of the changes in the assessments of an adjacent mall, we've had to come back and ask for some additional help. Bob Streeter, our community development director, can kind of walk you through two or three of those areas that are different from the previous bill, Mr. Chair. So with that, if I can turn it over.
Certainly. Thank you, Mr. Streeter. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Bob Streeter, community development director for the city of Oakdale. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, here are the new provisions that we're here to talk about. The first is, back in 2010, the legislature extended the Bergen Plaza TIF district, which is right across the street from the Tartan Crossing redevelopment project that Craig mentioned. And the legislature extended that for 8 years, and that generated about $2.8 million. But in the time that happened and today, because of property tax reductions and some additional costs required by the county for road and access improvements related to the addition of a signal light, we have a shortfall of about $670,000. So if everything would have worked out the way we had thought, and we wouldn't have had the declines in property value and the additional requirements by the county, we wouldn't have a shortfall. So what we're asking for is to extend the Bergen Plaza district by additional 6 years to pay for those costs. The second new provision is we have another TIF district in the city called the Echo Ridge TIF district, and what we'd like to do is take the increment from that district and use it on Tanner's Lake, as well as some additional increment at the Bergen Plaza district to fill a gap at Tanner's Lake. So you've got the Bergen Plaza TIF district with a six-year extension, partly to go to Tartan Crossing, partly to go to Tanner's Lake, and then you have the Echo Ridge TIF district, which is its own housing district. We'd like to use that increment to also help pay for public infrastructure at the Tanner's Lake redevelopment project. And in everything that you've received that we've handed out, you'll see there's a handout in the middle of the packet that sort of lays out the budget and all the rationale for what we're asking for. With that, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone in the audience wishing to testify regarding House File 114? Members with any questions? Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is Tanner's Lake a viable recreational lake?
Mr. Waldron?
Mr. Chair, Representative, it is. It's limited in terms of the horsepower and so forth that the respective boats can use, but it's very much used for fishing and light boating and so forth. So I would say yes with some limits.
Thank you.
Other questions? Representative Davids, was this in the Smoking Hot tax bill last year?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, it was, and you'll have to be patient with me here because I'm going to be the committee historian today, just so members know that some of these have a past. And I believe this is the bill that Representative Slawick worked so hard on for the city of Oakdale.
That's correct.
And Representative Lilly, this is a good TIF bill, and I hope members will include it in the next tax bill.
Thank you. Any other questions from committee members? With that, gentlemen, thank you very much. Representative Lilly renews his motion that House File 114 be held over for possible inclusion in an omnibus bill.
Thank you
all very much.
Members.
Representative Hansen, welcome as well to your committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I know our Representative David's fingertips are burning again because
there
this was
go.
In that
that bill last year.
Representative Hansen, would you like to move that House File 104 be before the committee, considered for possible inclusion in a future omnibus bill?
I move House File 104 for possible inclusion.
Thank you, Representative Hansen. Please proceed.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House File 104 was before the committee last year as an extension of a tax increment financing bill, but it expired on July 1st, I believe.
December 31st.
So we are here not for an extension, but the creation of a 15-year district because the clock ran out. And the areas, if you want to look at the CDA packet that you have in your packet, some of you may be familiar with these areas of West St. Paul. West St. Paul exists directly south of us. Actually, if you stood on the Capitol with the gold horses and looked straight south, you would see Smith Avenue. It lines up perfectly with the Capitol Rotunda. And on Smith Avenue, when you cross Annapolis, you enter West St. Paul. And there's the Cherokee Tap Room there, Amore Coffee. If you are on Robert Street, and you're heading to Robert Street, and there are plenty of places to eat during lunch, and we'd be happy for you to visit Robert Street or Smith Avenue while you're here at the Capitol. You will see the Dakota, which is a redevelopment which has occurred right when you cross Annapolis Street. But when you look around that, as you go south on Robert Street, you will see some vacant areas, some buildings that are abandoned. And then that zone goes up to the next major crossing. So it's those two streets as you enter Dakota County and West St. Paul heading south, Smith Avenue and Robert Street. And with that, I have folks here from the city if you have any questions.
Ma'am, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Andrea Brennan. I'm the Director of Community and Economic Development for the Dakota County Community Development Agency. I would just like to add that the county and the city have worked together for 25 years toward the redevelopment of these areas in West St. Paul. And since this was before you last year, we have continued to make progress in the last year, further depleting the few remaining resources we have in this TIF district, and we have made a lot of progress. We're well positioned for success if this legislation is enacted. We have acquired approximately 4 acres in that gateway area of Annapolis and South Robert Street. We have about just a little under 1 acre left to acquire. We've demolished several substandard buildings, most of which were built in the late 1800s, early 1900s. In the handout before you, there are some photos of some of those buildings. The most recent acquisition is the one on the lower right-hand corner, which has many code violations and is just not a safe place for businesses to be located either. So we are in strong need for these resources in order to continue with our redevelopment efforts and make the remaining public investment that is required in order to attract a private market response for redevelopment in this area. The city and the county both support this legislation, and also here is Community Development Director of City of West St. Paul, Jim Hartshorn. I would be happy to answer any questions, and Jim, if you wanted to make comments.
Mr. Hartshorn, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you. My name is Jim Hartshorn. I'm the Director of Community Development for the City of West St. Paul, and I'd also like to mention that the mayor extends his apologies. He intended to be here, but he was called away today, and being a Hennepin County probation officer, it's probably a good thing that he goes when he's called. But thank you very much for hearing us today. So, as Andrea mentioned, that it is the gateway in West St. Paul. The council strongly desires to redevelop this area. They held town hall meetings and heard from the citizens that this is one of their strongest desires as well to redevelop that area. And as a result, they drafted a plan called the Renaissance Plan, the Robert Street Renaissance Plan. And much of the focus on that plan is on that north end of Robert Street. So at this point, you know, West St. Paul is about 99.9% developed. We therefore are a redevelopment community, and we are in desperate need of more resources for this north side. So if there's any questions, I'd be happy to respond as well.
Is there anyone in the audience wishing to testify regarding House File 104? Questions from committee members? Representative Runbeck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just looking here at the photos, and you call it site assembly, did the city buy out the hardware, Hank, or kick them out?
Ms. Brennan, and let's not forget A1 Tattoo as well.
Mr. Chair, Representative Runbeck, yes, the CDA, Dakota County CDA, did acquire the Langulas from Gary Langula. We did acquire that hardware store. It was demolished this last summer, and it was actually a very tricky demolition because it has a shared wall with the property, which is shown in the photograph below. So we had to, it was a very tricky demolition, required us to be out there quite a bit. So it doesn't, when you're coming into West St. Paul from St. Paul, that side of the Thomas property below is quite unsightly because it basically is the one of the walls from Langula's hardware store. And we did acquire that on, as we do, all of these acquisitions are on a voluntary basis. So we did reach a voluntary acquisition settlement with Mr. Langula.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah. Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This question is directed to you, Mr. Chair, or to Chair Lencheski. Do we ever do a cost-benefit analysis from this perspective that the increment during the years of the taxing district versus the ultimate property tax and economic benefit to the community or to the area? Do we ever do anything like that?
Madam Chair, I'm sorry. If you were asking staff, I was busy distracting him.
Maybe Chair Lencheski, who was listening to me.
Chair Lencheski. My apologies.
Well, what we do in TIF is the legislature does not. These are public subsidies to private developers.
Right.
We ask the city councils to make a but-for finding, or the county in this case.
Okay.
I think the law is pretty vague. Kind of anybody worth their salt can make a but-for finding, but that's one of the problems with tax increment financing. It's a subsidy from everyone else to have something happen, but we're relying on these communities to do that analysis.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Once again, down memory lane, this bill was in the tax bill last year, but I remember it was very time sensitive, and we really, you know, wanted to get that in there. I thought Representative Hansen made a good case for it. It was in there, but now, as you said, it's expired, and so we have to get this thing going again. So I'm hoping the committee will help Representative Hansen out on this. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Davids. Any other questions from committee members? With that, Representative Hansen renews his motion that House File 104 be laid over for possible inclusion in a future omnibus bill. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Representative Swidzinski, I saw you in the room earlier. There you are.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Swidzinski. Representative Davids, I don't believe that this was part of the smoking hot tax bill last year, but would you still like to move it to be before the committee for possible inclusion in a future omnibus bill?
I will move House File 314 for possible inclusion in omnibus tax bill.
Thank you, Representative Davids. Representative Swidzinski, welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Thank you. The bill before you, House File 314, is simply a TIF extension for the city of Cambie. They've been working on a development of about 24 lots in the city, and unfortunately, the development went bankrupt. Developer went bankrupt, and as a result, the old TIF district was decertified. And I have John Mayer, who is with the city of Cambie, to speak on their behalf and this request before the committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Yes, my name is John Meyer. I'm the City Finance and Development Advisor to the city. Chair, committee members, the city back in the late 90s decided that they needed to develop more real estate lots. They were out of lots. They had an unusual situation where they didn't have any, and they had kind of a boom in residential development. So they had a developer approach them that said, there's a bare piece of land. I need some assistance with some infrastructure. Would you consider entering into an agreement with us, a TIF agreement, where I'll come in and build these single-family homes. In exchange, you will improve the infrastructure. There was a development agreement signed. Everything kind of was moving forward. And then the housing boom kind of fell apart. The guy, unfortunately, went bankrupt. But prior to that, the city had readily invested the $175,000 in the public improvements. And now, because of decertification, is left with the expense and no way for Inkerman to pay for it. So this bill asks for special provisions to recapture, develop the site, recapture the Inkerman so it can be used to pay off the $175,000 in debt.
All right. Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to testify regarding the House File 314? Seeing none, are there members with questions? Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the testifiers, and perhaps Representative Spadinsky, you probably don't know the answer to this, but maybe your testifier does. So this is a zero net tax capacity area. So what's your projection for what it'll result in if this is a certified district for TIF?
Well, Mr. Meyer. Go ahead.
Chair, Representative. My projection is that it will take approximately 20 years to recover $175,000 in present value to offset the expenses that the city had.
Other questions from members? Representative Hertas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Regarding the development that was started, it sounds like the lots were platted and created, the infrastructure's there. Is that correct?
Mr. Meyer.
Mr. Chair, Representative, that is correct.
Representative Hertas.
Would you not then be able to eventually recapture those investments when the lots are eventually sold or closed?
Mr. Meyer.
Mr. Chair, Representative, because of the value, there was actually 21 lots with $175,000 in public infrastructure improvements and the lot value, the economics doesn't necessarily work unless the infrastructure is partially written down with TIF.
Okay. Mr. Hertas.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions from members? Seeing none, Representative Spadinsky, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Representative David renews his motion.
Go ahead. Chair, I do.
Thank you. Mr. Meyer, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Representative Myra, I know you're here. Representative Myra, would you like to move House File 597 be before the committee for possible inclusion in a future omnibus bill?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Please proceed.
This bill would allow the city of Savage to create a redevelopment TIF districts in a defined portion of Savage designated as the mining reclamation project area. Mr. Barry Scott, the city administrator, is here to discuss the project.
Mr. Stock, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chairman Dabney, members of the committee and the division. My name is Barry Stock. I'm the city administrator for the city of Savage, and someday I hope to be as amazing as my peers, Mr. Waldron and Mr. Madsen.
We can only hope.
Yes. I also first want to begin by thanking you for serving the residents of our great state. I know you have, at times, a very thankless job. The City of Savage is seeking your support and approval of a bill before you today that would provide our community with the ability to consider the creation of a tax increment district for the purpose of completing a mining reclamation project for Prior Lake Aggregate Site in Savage. Savage, most of you may be aware, is located in the Southwest Metro area, and we have a current population of 28,000. The Prior Lake Aggregate Site is located in the southernmost portion of our community and basically sits at the back door of the Prior Lake High School. That's right, I said the Prior Lake High School. Now that's a story for another day. But back to the issue at hand, the Prior Lake Acreage site has been in operation in Savage since the early 70s. Approximately 280 acres of the operation are within the city of Savage, and an additional 194 acres are located in Credit River Township. A four-lane roadway separates the Savage portion of the operation from the Credit River side of the operation. Today, no mining is taking place in the Credit River side. The Savage portion of the operation, however, is nearing completion. Our request today would give the City of Savage the authority, if we so choose, to pursue the creation of a tax increment district to cover infrastructure costs associated with the development plan for the property. The conceptual development plan for the area includes approximately 500 single-family lots, 1,000 medium-density lots, and up to 750,000 square feet of commercial mixed-use development. Infrastructure costs associated with the project include trunk, water and sewer extensions, stormwater management, and roadway improvements to access the site. Total estimated cost for simply bringing the necessary infrastructure to the site will exceed $5 million. Additional costs will also, of course, be incurred by the property owner for final grading and restoration, as well as their own internal development infrastructure costs. At project completion, we believe the potential exists for the addition of $400 million in market value, generating over $10 million per year in new property taxes. Given the size of this project, it's likely that the development will occur in phases over the next 3 to 10 years, of course, pending economic development conditions. Tax increment is one of the few development tools available to enhance the potential tax base of this area and stimulate the creation of jobs. Your respectful consideration of our request for the passage of this file would be most appreciated.
Thank you, Mr. Stock. Representative Myra, you seem to have someone else with you.
I'm sure we haven't met yet, but I think you would like to speak to the bill.
We'll handle introductions through the chair. Mr. Duffy?
Well, I would like to say I'm Mr. Duffy, but he's a much younger man. And I'm Jim Casserly. And
welcome to the committee, Mr. Casserly.
It is a pleasure to be here. I've been here many times before on both sides, so it's always a delight to come back. I really have nothing more to add. I did help with the drafting of the legislation, and the reason we're here is I think Mr. Michael explained previously, current law does not allow the formation of this type of district, and so that is the reason that we're here. The exceptions that we've put into the Tax Increment Act are simply the result of trying to do a multi-phased, multi-year, long-term project. It's a very complex project to pull together. And what unfortunately happens is that we have substantial expenses, and oftentimes the expenses do not match the location of the development. We frequently have to have expenses incurred in one area so that we can access a different area or develop a different area. It does not pull together neatly, and that is the reason for the exceptions, and be happy to provide any other information I can.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Casserly. Is there anyone in the audience wishing to testify regarding House File 597? Perfect record so far today. Is there questions from members? Representative Carlson.
Chairman, Mr. Casserly, I'm just trying to remember, you know, we were elected the same year in 1972. I'm trying to recall if you were on the tax committee in 73, 74, and so on.
I was only 19, I'm sure, when I got elected, but I was on the tax committee for four years.
Starting in 73.
76, I think. It was a pleasure, and I'd like to say that I don't know how many former chairmen of the tax committee are in here, but the current one is my favorite, of course.
Well done, Representative Carlson. Do you like the chair of Ways and Means as much or more or less than the chair of taxes, Mr. Casserly?
Mr. Chairman.
He's not going to answer that question, would be my guess, Mr. Carlson, no, Representative Carlson. Representative Davids, you want in on this?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I was going to say that kind of hurt.
Any serious questions for the testifiers? Oh, Representative Loeffler, pardon me, thank you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And if the reputedly younger Mr. Duffy was here, I assume that he would be testifying to what we heard earlier, which is that the aggregate company will be taking care of preparing the site as much as they're responsible for. But I do want to make sure on all these projects, we've seen and heard testimony in committee in the past about how communities can get beyond the market in terms of extending infrastructure into areas beyond what the development takes place. We've heard about some whose hopes weren't met within the time frame, and they're coming back here for extensions. And I guess my question to the city is, you know, can you phase this? You're talking about a very large housing addition at a time in which communities are still struggling to have those kind of dreams move forward. And, you know, this bill would set you at a tax capacity of zero, which obviously gives you a lot of an increment, but it still doesn't bring necessarily the homeowners to the market. And I'm wondering what plans you have for phasing this, or what's the reality test on such a large expansion?
Mr. Stock, first, if you could speak to the question of the aggregate companies fulfilling their responsibility, and then to clarify that, and then Representative Loeffler's question about staging, please.
Yes, Chairman Dabney. Like the other cities that have testified earlier, the mining owner and operator has to conform with a reclamation plan that was approved when they received their mining permit. So they have normal costs of reclamation that they need to incur. As far as extending trunk water and sewer services to the site, can we do it in a phased approach? Yes. Right now, we have water and sewer trunk right to the high school site, which, as I said, is immediately north of this site. And we can extend it in phases to coincide with the development activity, which is expected to occur on the site. We, of course, do not want to get too far ahead of ourselves. That's why we are proposing to do this, just as you said, in phases.
Representative Loeffler.
Thank you, because I do think the recovery is coming. I think there's some signs of that, but we certainly don't want our communities to get ahead of that. Thank you.
Any other questions from members? Representative Earhart.
I have an oblique question here, on Mr. Chairman, on the new revenue sheets. I see we have somebody doing a property tax benchmark scale. What? Okay, and can anybody explain that to me exactly? Who does that and what's going on with it?
Who wants to? Department of Revenue? Or Ms. Schill? If somebody could make space, thank you. Ms. Schill.
Kathy Schill, House Fiscal. Mr. Chair and members, the property tax benchmarks that you see on each of the Department of Revenue's revenue estimates having to do with property taxes is a requirement that we did about 2.5 years ago to bring to light the impact of any potential property tax change in the revenue impacts. We wanted to make sure that you had a measure of how the change also affects the property tax system. And so you'll see the different elements of the benchmark scale there. And so this particular change for a TIF is listing each of the benchmarks, transparency, efficiency, and compliance, equity, and so forth, in a neutral fashion. You'll see this kind of benchmark analysis for each measure for a property tax change. not other tax changes like for income taxes or sales taxes and so forth. So that's why it's there. We asked the Department of Revenue to put it there.
Mr. Chairman, is this pretty subjective, or are they actually doing some analysis to come down with the where it falls?
Ms. Schell.
Mr. Chair and members, it's a scale that will either have a decrease or an increase or a neutral impact.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Representative Chair Lynchesky.
Mr. Chair, I have a point to make after the bill is done.
All right. Any other questions from members for Representative Myra or her testifiers? Seeing none, thank you very much. Representative Myra renews her motion that House File 597 be held over for possible inclusion in a future omnibus bill.
Thank you.
Chair Lynchesky.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I should have sent something out sooner to members or before the hearing at least today, but my intention is to bring back the process that we did 2 years ago, which is we're going to ask all these cities to provide a lot more financial detail, and many of the folks who are in the room are used to that process, and maybe just to underline it, we'll be asking everyone to get that information to House Research, but maybe Mr. Michael can just remind the committee of the process that's been used in the past to use for do further analysis on TIF bills.
Mr. Michael.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this was a process that's been used for a decade or probably getting old, 15, 20 years, something like that, starting back when NREST was the chair of the committee, that essentially just has the cities who are requesting special legislation to submit a little bit more information than sometimes is actually given to the committee about the details of their proposals, so that all the committee members have access to sort of consistent information on all of the proposals.
All right. So members and testifiers can anticipate requests for further detail. Folks who have bills on future agendas should anticipate that as well. Chair Lynchesky, anything else? All right. For fans and friends of the Tax Committee and the Division, listen carefully. I'm going to adjourn the full Tax Committee and recess the division until 4 p.m. With that, thank you all very much.
Is that the butt-for thing?